Supply chain issues, paper shortages, production problems, shipping delays, and increased labor costs. These are just some of the issues that our community of product-based business owners have faced over the last few years. But the problems extend well beyond our community of makers in that they also affect our manufacturing partners, suppliers, and vendors that we work with. Today, Ronnie Williams from DeFrance Printing is back on the podcast to share his insights. He and I chatted back in 2018 on episode 60 of Proof to Product about how to save money on printing costs. And today he's back to give us an update on paper shortages, shifts in the printing industry, and what we can expect going forward. Today's episode is brought to you by our Is Wholesale Right For You audio series. If you are sending out tons of wholesale pitches and you are not hearing back from stores, I need you to listen to my free on-demand audio series. The problem is not your pitch. It is very likely that the problem is either your product line, your pricing, or your wholesale terms and conditions. But you're too close to it. You can't see it. And this audio series will run you through all of the things that you need to know to have a strong wholesale foundation, because that's what's going to get your pitches open and that's what's going to get the orders coming in. Get access to this free audio series at prooftoproduct.com/privatepod. That's prooftoproduct.com/privatepod.
I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Ronnie, welcome back to Proof to Product.
Thanks, Katie. It's good to be here.
I'm happy to chat with you. It's been too long. We have a lot to catch up on.
We do. It's been a while.
So let's talk about what's happening at DeFrance right now. Business has changed. Life has changed so much since you were last on the show. Give us an update on what business looks like right now. Has the business model at DeFrance changed, or what you offer? Has that changed?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, a lot has changed at DeFrance. What we offer changed a little bit. So right before the pandemic, my dad, over 40 years running the company, retired. So as we entered the pandemic and throughout, then I took over running it. My brother's the production manager. So obviously big internal changes. And then last year, we rolled over a lot of equipment. So we brought in an Indigo. We brought in a Zante for full color envelope variable data. And we also brought in a new Kluge for higher end faster foil stamping. So Lots of mechanical changes, equipment changes. And then product wise, we have added in specialty products, as well as expanded some of the full color printing because of the Indigo.
Right. Okay. So let's break those down a little bit to give our listeners just some ideas and spark some inspiration for them. With the Indigo press, talk to us about why that press is really cool and what kind of things it can do that you couldn't do beforehand.
Yeah. So we were always, we started as a letterpress company, but we mostly did offset. And so As people came to us, they came to us because they loved the look of offset. And our digital was a very minor part of our business. As we started looking at transitioning, the Indigo really became the only option because it prints very similarly to our offset press. So the cool thing about that is you can get full color, high end prints that are matte in their ink quality and not that sheen that you get off of a Xerox or another brand machine. So We saw that as vital to transition, because most, let's say, greeting card orders are 500, 1,000, maybe even 250. And to put those on a press, we were doing that, but you got to have a lot of designs to make that financially make sense. Now we don't have to worry about that. So we still encourage group ordering, but the Indigo made it possibly much more flexible in what we're running.
Yeah. I remember when I first started my stationery brand, it was in 2008. So I was doing all offset, and I had The minimum I could do was 250 quantity on these offset printers. And it felt like such a big risk to me as a small business owner, because that was one SKU at 250 quantity, whereas these Indigo presses are allowing, like you said, smaller quantities. lower financial risk for a lot of brands. Yes. And two, it's not just about product. Like, yes, this is great for the greeting card world, but yeah. you were mentioning earlier that you can do boxes and marketing collateral and packaging yes. and all sorts of things. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, yeah. So the it allows us to do high quality print. So your product catalog, if you're doing any direct mail marketing, we can do that as well as variable data or personalization on every single sheet. So they can all vary. Awesome. And then we did mention packaging. So bottle tags, hang tags, all sorts of different backer cards, things like that, as well as boxes. So anything full color or even black can be printed on there in high quality quickly on a pretty wide variety of substrates.
Very cool. Yeah. So for those listening that aren't familiar, the variable printing thing is clutch, especially if you're doing custom mailers and you want yes. the addresses printed, or if you're doing something like wedding invitations and you need your guest envelopes printed. The variable printing works in a lot of different ways that makes it easy to send something that looks more personalized than, but it's still produced in mass, right?
Absolutely. And even it can go a step beyond. So it doesn't have to just be addresses. It can be images. It can be, you know, somebody's name on the other side. It can be both sides of that printed piece and integrated into it. Even QR codes, which we are actually seeing resurge back up, you can have variable QR codes. So every single postcard has a different QR code to link to a personalized landing page. So that's all cool. Those types of things. The Indigo doesn't do envelopes, but the Zante, I think I mentioned that, the full color envelope printer, mm-hmm. it'll do the same thing. So it'll do variable data, full color envelope printing, works for weddings, for nonprofits, and for marketing collateral. So
that's awesome. Cool. That is really cool. So you also mentioned that you're getting into more gift type items. I mean, I know the crux of your business is in printing, letterpress, yep. and now with the Indigo, you have more options there too for packaging and marketing collateral and other things. But talk to me about the gift items that you're rolling out, pouches, pins, what else?
So we've been doing what they call ASI or specialty products for probably 5 years, but really not of doing a lot of it. So pouches, pens, battery banks, you know, cell phone charger battery banks, backpacks, hats, some clothing. And so we're starting to ramp that up. It took us a while. You know, we really internally wanted to know what we were doing. So we're getting better at it every day. And so Emma, one of our customer service people, is putting little presentations together of here's a variety of products we can do with their logo or with an image or artwork. So it can be an item that's for sale or it can be for marketing collateral, either one. It'll work either way.
Very cool. What kind of quantities yeah. are we talking for those kind of things?
It's product dependent, but a lot of times, you know, like with hats or clothing, it's 48, 96 in those variables. With pens or pencils or something, it's 100 or 250 and then on up. I'm trying to think. We're looking at straw hats for the summertime. I believe those are 50 and 100. So it depends on the cool. product and who's making it.
That's not too many though. You know, we're not talking thousands here. So
No. And you can obviously do thousands, but they start pretty low quantities.
Right. Yeah. We can always go more, but it's always,
you can always go more, but less is hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I would love to chat with you about the supply chain issue concerns, the paper shortages that we've seen. This has really affected the product space, all aspects of the product space. So can you give us an update on where you see things, or what are generally some things that our listeners should know about with regards to supply chain issues and paper shortages?
Yeah, I mean, so specifically we'll talk about paper, but I would say to broaden it out, it's all manufacturing products right now are having challenges. But when the pandemic hit, paper companies felt that paper would shrink. So they shifted to other products, toilet paper, the fun conversation at the beginning of the pandemic. And then they didn't shift back fast enough. So what we saw was paper literally just running out everywhere. And from 2020, 2021, and most of 2022, massive shortages and not really good information when the paper would be back in stock. Right. 2023 has started much better. So we're seeing improvement, but it still is not what it was before. So there's, you know, standard uncoated white cover, which used to be everywhere. We have to really plan a month out, 2 months out, pre-purchasing it and bringing it in and keeping it ahead of schedule. So we're trying to keep our core house sheets there for people when we have it, unless a really large order comes in. The papers that I see as the biggest challenge this year and on in the future, in the near future, are going to be specialty papers. So when you're getting into French, French is an amazing mill, but they're a very small mill, and everyone bought their paper and they're very far behind. I mean, when we called, like I called yesterday, and they said, hey, this paper will be restocked in early June. So you have to think about being out of paper. If you have a product that uses a specific color, not white, you have to be looking much further out into the future as to what am I going to do if that paper is not available and paper source calls and I have to fill an order. So we're encouraging people to be flexible, to look at other options, and to be mindful of that. And if you normally order 250, maybe you order 500 or 1,000 to try and plan further ahead on those particular items. So I would say, you know, French paper, neat, some Nina product, Classic Crest is hit or miss. Sometimes Key Color, which is a paper that we have used a fair amount, that mill I believe right now is in bankruptcy, so that paper is available for what's left, and they're going to try and get it going again. And so there's some of that happening as well to think about. The other thing is we buy from suppliers in Southern California because that's where we are. There are suppliers all over. And if our supplier's out, there may be somebody in Florida that has paper. The thing to think about is, again, it's going to take a week to get here. And it's going to cost more money. So part of those discussions we're having is, well, the paper you normally order is out of stock here. We can get it there, but now the job is going to cost more, take longer. Do you want to wait or do you want to proceed forward with it? Mm-hmm. So as long as you're flexible and you're talking to us early and you're doing it with any printer you're working with, you should be doing okay, but you need to be aware. Sometimes it could be months before it can come back in stock. The next thing that we're seeing is the quality of paper. The mills are trying to get this paper out as fast as they can, and we are seeing inconsistencies. So color shifts, finish shifts, as far as how the finish looks, where we've had people say this isn't the same paper, but it is actually the same paper. So considering those things too in the process. And then also print quality. So when paper is inconsistent, how we're printing it, what we're doing to it, you may see that. And then the last thing, which is harder for people, is recycled paper is on the downturn. There was no paper to recycle during COVID because people were not using it as much. And so a lot of the mills are no longer going to offer the recycled sheets they did.
Not at all anymore?
Some of them temporarily are saying they're not offering any. So Accent, which is a sheet we use a lot, they do say they have a 30% recycled, but it's very rarely in stock for us to get. Environment, hence its name, they are still around and they are still offering from Nina. But again, it's not as available, and it's the price has gone up significantly. So those are things. Mohawk, I believe, has some and a few others. But when I talk to the reps, what they're saying behind the scenes is that a lot of the mills are shifting away because, again, they feel the natural product is as good as the recycled one because of the way we're growing it and handling it now. So I do think that may be something interesting in the next few years. Every time somebody calls us for recycled, it's a little bit of a touchy subject because the paper is not always available. So that's something to consider.
So there's two things that come to mind and I don't want to forget them. One is the first, let me come back to the recycled thing. But first I want to mention, Ronnie, I think it's fantastic how you communicate with your customers and how you offer them options. That even just simply saying, look, this is what we have available to you. Your stock is out, but we have these three other options for you, or maybe we can get it from Florida, but here's the details you need to know. You're very thorough and you're very communicative about these kind of things, which I appreciate because not all manufacturing partners are. So first off, thank you to you and your team for that.
No, thank you. Thank you.
And then secondly, this whole recycled situation is blowing my mind a little bit. And I'm kind of just talking off the cuff here, but so many of us want to have sustainability as a core value in our business and in our product line. And, you know, we're taking steps to do that. We're spending more on even the cello sleeves or different packaging to, you know, in the product quality and the packaging material, like all of it. And yet, now it's not even going to be offered in some instances, or the prices, it doesn't feel sustainable financially to try to be more sustainable environmentally.
Yes. Well, so again, it's a very hot topic, you know, and it has been since it came around. So first of all, recycled paper has historically always been more expensive, or post-consumer material. It's always been more. It also doesn't print as well in many cases because of whatever's in the paper. So that's also problematic. here's the thing that I can say. If you're buying paper that is FSC certified, which is basically 100% of paper in the United States, you're getting paper that is not just out there wildly cutting trees down. It's planted like crops, grown like crops, and cut down and used. So for me, I personally feel you can still find a paper that's beautiful, that works, and be confident that you're getting something that is not bad for the environment and what you're doing. Now, yes, it does make it challenging if you've been putting recycled on your sheet for that amount of time, and now you may not be able to. There are some, again, 10% recycled, 30%, and 100% post-consumer are the standard options. And it's not that you can't get them. It's just you need to be aware that at times you're going to hit bumps and they may not be available. You know, environment has flex in it. So one of the things that has always come around with that sheet is people don't like the flex. And it doesn't print as well. So those are also challenges. If you're getting recycled paper, the color is going to fluctuate more and all that stuff that's in it. But I don't want to say it's not available, but it is much more challenging than it has been to get that and get it consistently.
Yeah. No, this is good information for folks to have and for us to be talking about too, as you know, you have such a different knowledge base and also, you know, you're connected to all these different suppliers too. And so you hear what's going on and, you know, we hear the trickle down of that in smaller pieces, but it's good to hear your take on it from a holistic point of view.
It's been a daily conversation since the pandemic. I've never talked to so many paper reps in my life than since the pandemic hit. I mean, it's at one point, 100% of the jobs through the building, we had to personally call the rep to find out if and when the paper was available, which we've never done ever.
Yeah.
And now it's better, but it's still, we have more paper on the floor, probably three times the amount of paper on our floor than we ever would have prior to COVID, just because we don't know sometimes if we're going to get it or not. And then on top of that, the pricing has gone up a lot. And in many cases, like French or a few other brands, we're talking in many cases substantially higher. Whereas the house papers and the standard white sheets, they went up, you know, 20% or something in that nature. Some of the other ones far higher than that. So
yeah. Well, I was going to say this puts you in a really tricky situation from your operational perspective, because you want to keep enough paper in stock that you're not having to tell people we don't have things. But at the same time, you don't want all of your cash flow tied up in inventory for paper that may or may not roll.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's tricky. And then you start to bring up the cost, which I wanted us to talk about too. I think it's super important for folks to realize in my community, there's a lot of conversation about the paper shortages, what's missing, and also then this increase in cost. And I'm very candid with them that, look, the cost of doing business across the board is rising, and it's not just paper, it's a number of things. And so we have to also adjust for that. So, you know, you're adjusting for that on your side, you're having to raise costs so that you can pay your team and continue to operate your business. And it does have a trickle down effect. And so is there just, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that a little bit and just if you want.
No, it's so again, the things we paper is the biggest chunk, but in reality, printing plates, ink, electricity, you know, everything has gone up in price. Paper, though, has been the biggest hit on many of those items. And so again, on the back end, most customers, you know, we're buying either parent sheets or cut size sheets, and that determines how we can fit things on that paper. That has become limited because, again, streamlined paper processing, not all the sizes are available all the time like they historically were. So we used to tailor the paper size to the job. Unfortunately, many times we're just buying one size or two sizes just to keep paper coming in, and that makes it a little less efficient as well. So it's one of those things that I think most printing companies are doing a pretty good job with the scenario that we have. However, it is more expensive. And the goal is, again, like with our Indigo and those other things, is how do we become more efficient at smaller quantities and being more flexible or faster turn on certain things to make up for some of that. But at the end of the day, the core cost is there. It's not going to go away. And my prediction going forward is I do not believe we're going to see a resurgence of paper pricing, meaning it's going to come back down. I think it's probably going to stay where we're at for a while, maybe long term, because the mills were already struggling And I think this actually helped them a little bit financially. And I don't see them changing back on that in the process. So,
well, and I have to imagine, in addition to all the things you talked about in terms of price increases, labor alone has increased. Labor alone. And so labor if alone. That's happening at the mill, that trickles down to you, that trickles down to the people making products as well. So I just think it's important.
And to say, and all the manufacturers that were, as the model in printing changes to, rather than buying a piece of equipment like a printing press, and you're moving to a digital device that has click charges and other things, all of those things are changing in their model and increasing in price too. So it's a new world. There are tons of benefits, and some of the pricing is going down just because you're moving it from a printing press to a digital device, but some may go up in longer runs or different variables that come there. So it's kind of a wild, I've never seen anything like this. This is my 22nd or third year in printing, and I've never seen anything like these last few years happen. I mean, it's wild.
No, it is wild. I think too, you know, you and I know this, but just for our listeners' sake, when you're also printing things in larger quantities, that's where you get the price per piece down. So
yes,
it's, you know, the Indigo is opening up a lot of opportunities for people to test the market with smaller quantities, but they will pay a higher price for that price per piece rather for those items. So I think you're right. Technology has lent a lot of advantages, but it also, we need to think long-term too of how we're building these businesses and sustaining them.
And that's why when somebody comes, we always talk about, you know, what price point are you looking for? What, you know, cause a lot of times we get a request, I want 100 of a card. Mm-hmm. But when you ask, it's, they really want 100 of 10 cards. Well, those are two totally different orders, because for us, we look at them as a clump. So always come to the printer, whoever you're working with, and talk about what you're really intending on doing, not just saying what's 100 of one, because yes, some printers, it's the same price no matter what. Some printers are like us and they look at each job as a whole job in total. What am I doing? And that makes a big difference. And we're seeing, again, with the Indigo, I'm sure anybody with digital, the crossover, as we would call it, is moving higher and higher and higher, because with offset production, the costs on that are also going up a lot. Labor, plates, ink. We had two ink manufacturers go out of business. So now we're on to another one. What happens when that happens? All of a sudden, the price goes up because now they don't have as much competition and they're getting pressure to make more ink.
Right.
So there's a lot of movement and moving parts in those kinds of things.
Oh, that's fascinating. That's a lot to think about, Ronnie. I know that you put a lot of care into each of your bids and quotes, but I think it's helpful for folks to hear this, because I think there are a lot of online printers right now where you can just go upload your files. And I mean, it was like a bless and release situation where it's like, I hope these come back okay. But working
and they're great. They're great for certain scenarios. I mean, I will not knock what they do. That is, it's great. And we can't do that. That's the other thing we always have to admit. In the beginning, we don't want to admit that we can do everything. You know, we can't do everything. That's not where our niche is. So, you know, I say more power to them. If it works to get started, do it. You know, but we're here with a little more understanding of the process, and we want to learn about their business so that when I'm printing it, I actually know what I'm doing, rather than just putting ink on paper. We start to learn, hey, I don't think they're going to like the outcome of that, or I think they will like that. Let's leave it the way it is, even if it may not be 100% like their artwork. Let's leave it and see that they like it. And most of the time it works very well.
Yeah. I love too, Ronnie, that you are focused on the relationship with your customers. You really are looking out at for the product. You're working with that. It's a collaborative experience working with you to seek out quotes and bids and things like this. Like, it really is a different type of relationship. And I just, again, want to thank you for that.
No, thank you. Yeah. I mean, for us, it's very important. We're not interested in being the biggest printer. We don't want to just process everything in the world. Our goal is to have a nice business that's a great place to work, that customers can come and we can make nice quality products, either for sale or for marketing or for general business use. And that's what our focus is. And we have a very strong core group of customers that like what we do. So,
yeah, absolutely. This is great. I know last time you were on the show, we talked about fulfillment being something that you were getting started with. Is that something you have continued to do? Is that something you're still offering?
It is. We paused the majority of it during COVID. You know, a lot of companies brought it back in-house. Totally makes sense. We also were short-staffed, so we didn't have the capability. But we've started in the last 6 months, maybe 9 months, fulfilling TJ Maxx orders, Barnes & Nobles, and some other groups. So printing, sleeving, stickering, bulk boxing, and out to the client for that's our client, or shipping to the end recipient, the warehouse. And so we're doing that. We are not, I think the mistake we made the first time around was dabbling in the retail shipping onesies, twosies. It just doesn't make sense for us. So we're really focusing on, you know, you've got 500, 1,000, 2,500, 10,000 of an item or items that need to go, and we'll print them, sleeve them, and ship them out.
The larger scale fulfillment then, which is a huge help to the independent brands that have never worked with key accounts, for example, and they don't understand the nuance and everything that goes into getting those orders out correctly.
The,
I mean,
the constant rule adjustment of different things to go through. Yes. and it's very, so we do a lot of mailing through the postal service. We're a mail house.
Yeah.
Those are flexible rules. I would compare working with some of the other ones to the same thing, is that the rules are kind of shifting. You got to learn where you can be between there to make it all work. So, and I think we're getting better. Again, it's not a big part of our business. It's small, but if you're working with us now, or you have significant, you know, accounts, we're totally open to talking about it, putting pricing together to do that.
Awesome. Ronnie, what's new at DeFrance Printing that you want to talk about? What's coming up next? What are you working on that you can share with our listeners?
Well, so again, we want to keep improving the greeting cards or the bulk as far as stationery that we're doing. So we want to work on how those are priced, how we can order those. So with the Indigo, we're really trying to set it up where we can give pricing much faster. So it's still not going to be online as far as that part. We can send out pricing sheets, but the goal in the next year is to get it to where if somebody does want a small order, they'll be able to go onto the website and place that order and do that. So that's the first step within the next year. And then to potentially branch out to some other products that are smaller run products. We still encourage anything that's significant. You can email everything through the website or send it through, but we still would prefer a conversation and going over it in that regard. The other things that's new is we do have a holiday line that we produce that we're working on that. So that's been fun, that people can, organizations, nonprofits, and unions can log on and they can order their cards during the holiday season. So that's something for me. And then the other thing is just learn our equipment better. So with the Zante, with the Kluge, and with the Indigo, experimenting with white ink printing, experimenting with metallics, you know, those are some conversations that we haven't dived into yet, but we want to learn more before we offer them. Because right now we're not offering that directly, but I believe as we experiment and get better at it, we'll start adding those into the mix.
That's awesome. Ronnie, one of the things I love about you guys is that you really do test, and like, you want to make sure that your systems and your outcomes and your finished products are really where they need to be before you roll it out to anyone. And I really respect that, because I think a lot of other folks just kind of, yes, we do this. And then they're kind of learning as their printing customer runs. And that's like kind of a dangerous territory to be in. So
it opens things up for a mess. And so, yes, we want to, and again, I'm guilty of it too. I have many times shot myself in the foot and said, we're going to dive into this thing and we're going to do it. But what we try and do is internally, either on a product for us or just in general, run testing, go over it, troubleshoot those things and make sure it's going to work the way we think it's supposed to. And again, there's going to be failures in learning to do that, but that's the reason we're testing. I mean, one of the things we tested, and we'll admit that we is digital foil, as we called it, which was rather than using a die was using lamination process. It works. I do not like the quality. And so therefore we've paused the whole thing. Cause to me, if I can't offer the good quality, to me, it doesn't make sense. Even if it's cheaper and faster, it doesn't work. So we're going to always admit and be very honest if something is going to work or if it's not going to work. And that's part of the testing.
But it comes back to quality and consistency. Like that's where your values and your focus are. You're really trying to provide a high quality product that you can stand by. And that's what I really admire. So thank you for taking that care and consideration in how you do your work.
Thank you for noticing. we work hard on it.
I know. We all work so hard. It's nice to be acknowledged, right?
Yep.
Well, where can folks find you online if they want to learn more about DeFrance Printing or, you know, talk to you about a job that they have in the queue?
Yep. So DeFranceprinting.com, DeFranceprinting.com, or at DeFranceprint on Instagram and Facebook. We aren't as active as we should be, but we are.
Hey, no apologies.
Yeah, we'll do that. Or you can call us. Somebody does answer the phone every day, Monday through Friday. Usually I'm available much of the day, but Karen or Emma can help. Or myself can jump on the phone. So email, go online, whatever the website has, they can place an order, they can request a quote and all those other things. And sharing samples. We still, unlike many people in the paper industry, we're sending samples out still. So encourage your paper mill to make more samples for us.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we will include all of those links in the show notes and so people can easily find you, Ronnie. But thank you for coming back and thank you for giving us an update on supply chain issues and the paper shortages and just what's happening with all of you at DeFrance too.
Nope. Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
It was.
Big thanks to Ronnie for coming on the show today to talk about what's going on in the industry and what we should expect moving forward with regards to supply shortages. I also loved hearing about DeFrance Printing's new product offerings, their new equipment, and how they are supporting our community. Look for Ronnie's links in the show notes, and if you reach out to him, let you know that you heard him here on the Proof to Product podcast. Also, if you are looking to expand your product line into wholesale, I strongly encourage you to check out our free on-demand audio series at proofedoproduct.com/privatepod. In this audio series, I will walk you through all the things you need to know to build a strong wholesale foundation. And I even share some common mistakes and missteps that brands make when they start selling wholesale. No fluff, just concrete, actionable steps that you can implement right away. Get access at proofedoproduct.com/privatepod. All right, that's all I have for you today. I'll be back next week with our 300th episode of Proof to Product. Have a great week and I'll talk soon.